So on a positive note, on a similar vein, the previous Rebbe said that on Purim, you're supposed to reach a level beyond logic and reason.
Right.
And that helps that the next day after Purim, when you go back to logic and reason, it's a different kind of knowledge.
That's
true. You go somewhere else. It's not the same. Not the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a class in itself. But today we're going to continue the subject that we began last few weeks on the character of Torah and the essence of Torah.
Is that the same
sicha? It's not a sicha. It's a series of classes that Rav Yehiel Kanel was shown.
Something you posted?
I did post it, yeah. It's a series of classes that Rav Yehiel Kanel explaining the fundamentals of Judaism, which of course is from the Rebbe's talks and discourses. So, the theme we had discussed last class was one of the 13 principles of Torah. Maimonides writes, the Torah will never change. And the question is, why is this fundamental to Torah? And there are those who criticize Maimonides and say this is not a fundamental thing to Torah. This is, perhaps it's true. They're not discounting the truth of it. But why is it fundamental? Why is it one of the fundamentals of our faith? In other words, let's accept that Maimonides has various proofs that the Torah will never change. There will never be an addition to Torah, never be subtracted. But what's? There will never be a 614th mitzvah. There will never be 612 mitzvahs. The Torah will never change. Maimonides has proofs. He knows from various verses in the Torah will never change. But why is that fundamental to Judaism? What would be wrong? Oops. If Torah would change, what would wrong? What would be the issue be if Torah had changed? Of course, a person can't change Torah. Fine, a person doesn't have the jurisdiction, the purview of sitting in the chair of the divine to decide what is pertinent and what isn't pertinent. But what would be wrong with saying that Hashem will one day change the Torah? And they explain their argument with logic and with facts. Logic, give an analogy of a doctor and a patient, that the doctor prescribes a certain medicine to a patient, and when the patient's circumstances change, the doctor prescribes a different behavior, different medication. Not that the doctor's mind has changed, but the patient has changed. Or a father and a son. The father treats his son one way when he's in one situation, and in another situation, father treats him differently. Or the famous story, the one guy goes to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, I don't know what happened. I don't know, one of my children really is giving us a hard time. We treated all our children the same.
Right.
And the rabbi said, that's exactly the problem. Every child is different. You can't treat them all the same. So what's wrong with saying that, I'll take tefillin for example. Tefillin is about devoting our heart and mind to serve Hashem. Tefillin is about subjugating ourselves. It says in the Siddur, when you put on tefillin, you're supposed to think about and remember the miracles and wonders that God did for us when He took us out of Egypt. And you put it next to your heart and put it next to your mind. And you're thinking about the content of what's in the tefillin, where the miracles that Hashem did for us demonstrate that that He is alone. It's one who governs whatever happens in the higher and lower realms. And so when you put on tefillin, you're supposed to devote your heart and mind to serve Hashem and lessen your attention to things which don't matter so much. So let's say we develop our heart and mind to such an extent that we're able to reach a higher level of devotion of our heart and mind to Hashem. Or let's say, for example, actually, Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is about a deeper devotion to Hashem, which is not a biblical requirement. Some people have the custom to wear Rabbeinu Tam, some people don't. It's not a mitzvah. It's a custom. What would be wrong to say that the Jewish people develop and they advance, and they no longer need the Rashi Tefillin, and they need only Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Or let's say Hashem gave us four sections to write in the tefillin, and Hashem one day says, you know what, you guys have reached a certain point, now I'm going to give you a fifth section of tefillin. What's wrong with saying that after Mashiach comes, we'll need new tefillin? Or let's say God forbid, we're in a lower situation. We're not able to reach the same kind of devotion to Hashem. So we need three sections in tefillin. What's wrong with saying that? Grace of Shekeach. What's wrong with saying that things change based on our circumstance? We are different, and therefore the prescription, the Torah, should change based upon where we are. Chaim, Chaim, Baruch. And that's just in logic, but they also bring reality, they bring a proof in history. We do see a change in the commandments that Hashem issued to mankind. There were six commandments God gave to Adam. And then, when Noah came around, Hashem added a seventh commandment, you're not allowed to eat a limb from a living animal. Hashem also not just added mitzvahs, Hashem also subtracted a mitzvah. Hashem said, until the time of Noach, you're not allowed to eat meat. And then, kol basar nasati lechem kirek esem nasati lechem eskel. Just like the vegetables, I gave you, Hashem says, everything, you're now allowed to eat meat. So we see there was a change, not in Hashem's mind, but the world changed. And since the world changed, what's wrong with saying that? And then we find more mitzvahs, that Avraham Avinu got mitzvahs, the Jewish people got Egypt. When the Jewish people left Egypt, they got more mitzvahs. And then Mount Sinai, we got 630 mitzvahs. So what's wrong with saying that there is there's a change? I'm not saying it's not true, but what's wrong with saying that why is it so fundamental to Judaism to say that there is no change in Torah, that there can't be changed? So the answer is this. Morning, Baruch. The answer is this. There is a difference between the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah and the mitzvahs after the giving of the Torah. The Torah is like, Hashem and the Torah are one. As it says in the Zohar, Araisu kuchabrichu kulachon, Hashem and the Torah are one. And just like you cannot say about Hashem himself, that he is a means to an end, obviously Hashem is not a means to an end, so too you can't say about that the Torah is a means to an end either. Obviously Hashem is not here for something. Hashem is the reality that created everything. And so too the Torah is one with Hashem. It's Hashem's desire that comes from his very essence. As the first word that Hashem used when he gave us the Torah, Anochi. Anochi stands for I, my soul, Charagishim and Arangeb ben Zichalein. Hashem wrote and gave us himself in the Torah. So the Torah is Hashem's very essence. And because Hashem himself is not a means to an end, therefore you can't say the Torah is a means to an end. So if the Torah was indeed just for us, then you're right. Then you could say the Torah changes based upon our circumstances. Because the Torah is not a means to an end, the Torah is Hashem's desire. And because Hashem has a desire, because Hashem has Torah, that's why Hashem created the world. The world is not, the Torah is not just a guidebook to know how to live in the world. It's the opposite. Because Hashem has a Torah, that's why he made a world. The world is here to fulfill the Torah. It's not that the Torah is a prescription for mankind to know how to behave. The Torah tells mankind what mankind needs. But the opposite, there is a Torah. There are mitzvahs. And in order to satisfy the desire of Hashem and Torah mitzvahs, that's why Hashem created the world. The world is a means for Torah. The Torah is not a means for creation. The world is here to fulfill Hashem's desire in the Torah. And therefore it can't be changed. So it's not only a question of what's going to happen later, will the Torah change or will the Torah not change. It's fundamental to understanding what Torah is today. Is Torah just a prescription for us and therefore it could change? Or is Torah, as it really is, that as Maimonides emphasizes by telling us that Torah will never change, he's telling us that Torah is one with Hashem. It's not a means to an end. Clear so far? Questions, comments? You got it. Okay. So, the truth is that if you divide this further, there are actually three time periods. There's a difference between the mitzvahs before the Torah was given, the mitzvahs after the Torah was given, and also the mitzvahs that were given to Adam and the mitzvahs that were given to Avram Avinu, and the mitzvahs that were given to Yitzchak and Yaakov. as we just learned in the Rambam, what each of our patriarchs did and added to the commandments of Hashem. There's a difference between these three time periods. I'll say it like this. The reason why Hashem created the world is for the sake of Torah and the Jewish people. As the Torah says in the very first word, Bereishis, why did Hashem make the world? For the sake of Torah and the sake of the Jewish people. So the reason why Hashem gave commandments to mankind is because Hashem wants the world to be in such a state that's conducive for the Jewish people to fulfill their the purpose of creation. In other words, the world is just a means to an end for the sake of the Torah and the Jewish people. And the commandments, just like the world itself is a means to an end, it's not the purpose, not in the world itself, it's just a means to an end. So too, the commandments that Hashem gave to mankind are also not an end in itself, but they're here for the sake of the Torah and for the sake of the Jewish people. There is a difference between the mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah and the mitzvahs after giving the Torah. Before the giving of the Torah, the mitzvahs are there that Hashem gave to mankind and today too. The mitzvahs Hashem gives the seven commandments that God gave to mankind are different than the mitzvahs at Mount Sinai. What's the purpose of these mitzvahs? So, in order for the Jewish people to fulfill the purpose of creation, to keep the Torah, the world has to be conducive to it. So if, for example, a person doesn't believe in Hashem and he does idolatry, or he commits sins between man and God, or he commits one of the sins between man and man that are in the seven commandments that God gave to Noah, the seven laws of Noah, if he violates them, so then he's bringing a certain corruption to the world, a spiritual corruption or physical corruption. And this corruption that he's bringing to the world, that is that harms the world, and it makes the world less conducive for the Jewish people to fulfill their purpose, to make the world a home for Hashem. So indeed, their mitzvahs are a means to an end. And that's why there's interesting halacha. Halacha is that there's a difference between the way the consequences for violating the Torah versus violating the seven laws of Noach. If you violate the Torah, chas v'shalom, you transgress the law of the Torah. So what's the consequence? Well, it depends what you did. There's 613 commandments, and each commandment has different consequence. There's a consequence for stealing, there's a consequence for killing, and they're very different. However, as we're learning now in the Rambam, when a non-Jew violates one of the seven laws of Noah, he is given immediately a death penalty, whether death penalty from heaven, death penalty on earth, but it gets death penalty. Why is he getting a death penalty? The Jew does the same thing, doesn't get a death penalty. A non-Jew does it, gets a death penalty. It doesn't make sense. If this is something that warrants a death penalty, then it should be a death penalty all around. If it doesn't warrant the death penalty, then why is he getting a death penalty? And the answer is, you have to understand what the nature is of the seven laws of Noah. The seven laws of Noah are part of the fabric of what creation is meant to be. In other words, just like Hashem made rules of nature for inanimate things, right? Hashem made rules of how inanimate things work, how matter works. Hashem made rules for vegetation, how vegetation works, and each plant and each creature has Hashem made very set rules in nature how they're supposed to function, and so do animals. Animals also, every animal has its nature and its rules. And how old can lobsters live to, by the way? I just read this recently. I think lobsters live to like 100 years. Isn't that interesting? Lobsters live to like 100 years. Anyways, everything in the world has its exact formula that Hashem made it to live with. And so too with mankind. Mankind also has laws that God gave to mankind in order for them to fulfill their purpose in creation. It's in order for them to be conducive for the purpose, which is that the Jewish people should keep the Torah in this world and make a home for Hashem. And therefore, if the cause for their existence isn't there, then there's no reason for their existence. If they're violating the Torah, there's no reason for them to be here. The whole reason they're here is to make the world a better place. If they're causing corruption to creation, so there's no reason for them to be here. And that's why there is a death penalty. It's not a question of It's a question of what is their, why should they be here? Are they serving their purpose or not? So the death penalty is not a light thing in Judaism to give someone a death penalty. The Talmud says that if a court administers death penalty once in seven years or 7 years, they are considered a violent court. But the reason why there is a lackadaisical response to violating the seven laws of Noah, and they're just immediately death off of their heads, if that's in the nature of what creation is for. They are a means to an end to help the Jewish people fulfill the Torah, and therefore, if they're not keeping their laws, they don't need to be here. So this will help us understand also the difference between those commandments and, you have a question?
No, it's okay. It's big.
Yeah. This will help us understand also the difference between those commandments, the commandments that God gave to Avram Avinu. The Talmud says that the world's existence, the history of the world, could be divided into three periods. The first 2,000 years of the world's creation are called chaos. The second two millennia are called Torah. And the third set of two millennia are called the days of Mashiach. So it's not that the Torah was given in the immediate beginning of the first two millennia. The Torah was given in the year 2448. However, when Avram Avinu turned 52 years old, the time to prepare for the giving of the Torah began. So the commandments that Avram Avinu was given are analogous, not the same, but they're analogous to the commandments that were given after the Torah was given. How are they analogous? What is the nature of the commandments that were given after the Torah was given? They're not about just making the world conducive for Hashem's plan. The commandments that Hashem gave us after the Torah was given are about bringing to the world something above the world. The commandments given to the seven laws of Noah are about the world being conducive to Hashem's plan. The commandments that Hashem gives the Jewish people, they're about bringing the light of Hashem that's above creation. And so even before the Torah was given, when Hashem gave commandments to Avraham Avinu, it was about bringing into the world something above the world, something higher than the world. Just like when Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem said, I, my soul, I wrote it and gave it. It's not a means to an end. So too, the commandments before the commandments were given to the Jewish people, they were about summoning something of the divine to the world, bringing some light of Hashem that's above creation to the world. There's a difference between before the world, before the giving of the Torah and after the giving of the Torah, but as we'll see in the next classes, God willing, but just for today, let's say that it's analogous. That there's something that Avraham Avinu did in both the commandments that Hashem gave to him and in the commandments that that he kept on his own without Hashem telling him, and the commandments the Jewish people kept before the Torah was given, in the 10 mitzvahs that were given in Mara before the Torah was given, there's something about those commandments that bring to the world something above it. Let's go over an example we discussed in the last class. I think that will bring things home. There's two kinds of desires that a person can have. There's chitzonius haratzen, external desire, and there's pnimius haratzen, there's inner desire. The person wants to go to work, let's say. Does he want to go to work? Does he want to go to work? He wants to get paid. He wants to get things with the money that he has earned. Does he really want to get things? Well, he wants to get those things so that those things will give him something else. They'll sustain him, so he'll live. But so all the things that he wants could change. They're all a means to an end, and therefore they could change. But his desire to live, that desire cannot change. That desire is part of his fabric of existence. It's not a means to an end. That's the desire to live is called pnimius haratzon. That's his inner desire. The other desires he has are external. They are means to an end. Therefore, if he could satisfy those desires with something else, he would take it. However, the desire that he has to live, that's his inner desire. That's a desire which is part of the fabric of a human being. That's how Hashem built a human being, that a person wants to live. Why do you want to live? You're born with a desire to live. Of course, God forbid, there could be a chas v'shalom situation of suicide, which is unnatural. It's not a I think I told you I went to D.D. Hirsch to learn about discovering symptoms of suicide. And one of the things they said was that people have all kinds of issues. And when a person is about to commit suicide, what's happening is that the issues pile up in front of them so that they're stacked on top of each other so that he cannot see a future. Yeah. And so he's hopeless. He doesn't see life. Yeah. If he knew there was life, then he wouldn't want to commit suicide. So the desire of Hashem for the world is an external desire. He wants the world for the sake of Torah and the sake of the Jewish people. His desire for the Jewish people and desire for the Torah is his inner desire. Hashem wants that there should be a world in order, the Jewish people should be here and keep the Torah. And therefore, the Talmud says that when Avraham Avinu came to the scene, the world started to have light. What does it mean the world started to have light? What about all of the great, wonderful people that existed before Avraham Avinu? There were great people before Avraham Avinu, true. There was Mesu Shelach, there was Adam, there were great people. But the reason why the Torah says the world was in a state of darkness, the world was in a state of Ad Avram Ha'il Mesnag Ba'Feil, until Avram, the world was in a state of darkness. Mishabo Avram Hischalahoy, when Avram came, the world started to give, the world started to shine, it started to shine in the world. What that means is, all of the perfection that man achieved on his own was all about perfecting the world, perfecting creation. What Avram Avinu brought to the world was something above creation. That's why it says he started to shine. Now, it's still not the same way as it is after the Torah was given. As the Talmud says, there's a verse, L'reach shmenecha tevim shemen turek shmecha. The Talmud says that all the mitzvahs that our forefathers did before you, they're like just good fragrances. But we are the oil. There's something different about the mitzvahs given after the Torah was given. But to a certain extent, the period of the giving of the Torah began with Avraham Avinu. That was already when Hashem started to bring to the world through the mitzvahs that they performed something higher than the world. And that's why it says that Avraham Avinu started to give light to the world. What kind of light? A light that's above the creation. But Hashem will get next classes. We'll see, God willing, how why it's still only considered a fragrance and what's the unique quality of that was given to us at Mount Sinai and why that's considered, our mitzvahs are called the oil, their mitzvahs are only called fragrances. Chaim, Chaim, Rav.